This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. Here at BFM, everyone is dedicated to supporting our local businesses and giving them a voice. With that, all of our producers and presenters have come together to highlight some of their personal favorites in what we're calling the BFM Collective, every Friday on Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Good morning, you're listening to Open for Business with me, Lim Soo Ann. Today we're talking about the business of making batik clothing, and while we tend to associate batik with formal or traditional wear, it's undeniable that we are seeing more local brands putting a new and modern spin on batik wear for all occasions. Now, one of those brands is Batik by Nelly Pok and G, run by a mother and daughter duo, doing their bit to bring slow fashion back in style. So on the show with me today is Wong and G, the daughter of that duo behind the business. Welcome to the show, G. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Soo Ann. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So I think you'll tell me, how did Batik by Nelly Pok and G start? I understand that you guys are quite new, right?
Yes, we're quite new. We only started bringing it online in November 2020. But my mom has been sewing for really long, I think more than 30 years now, ever since she graduated from fashion school. Ever since then, she's been doing all sorts of things. She's been doing wedding gowns, fancy dress costumes, like all kinds of crazy banana costumes like I can think of. She's also done maternity clothes, kids clothes. And in the years leading up to 2020, she started to shift towards batik, mainly kebayas and other kinds of modernized batik wear, because, you know, being a nyonya, it's just, she just likes it because she personally wears it a lot. And also because raising three kids, it helps to limit her work into a certain type of fabric, because if it's so open-ended, like wedding gowns, fancy dress costumes, she'll have to go out and source different fabrics all the time. So it really helps to just limit it and have things readily available at home. So yeah, when the pandemic started, at first she started to volunteer and sew PPE for those who needed it. And once the supply was sufficient, she started to realize that we have a lot of batik at home and there seems to be a demand for fabric masks now. So that's how we started. We started selling fabric masks. And then over time, we slowly ventured out into clothes, which to her, to us is like nothing new because she's been doing it for so long. It's just the fact that we brought it online. Mm. Yeah.
So I guess tell me more about, like, at what point did you realize that this was a sustainable business model that you wanted to join as well?
Well, I graduated from uni straight into the pandemic, so jobs were kind of hard to come by. So I was doing this full time with her. At first, I was just handling like the business side of things, handling customers, mailing stuff. And then I realized, like, the demand is quite high, surprisingly high. So I said, why not I learn how to sew as well. Before this, I knew how to sew, but not as well as my mom does. So I think we started taking it full-time quite late on, maybe mid-2021. Mm. Yeah, we decided, like, let's just go all out because the demand looks good. We enjoy what we are doing. And my mom said, it would be a waste if somebody didn't take over from her because she already has built this legacy, not to mention her collection of stuff at home. So she said, so sayang lah if, you know, it doesn't go to anybody. Yeah, and since I have the interest and being her child, I have like the natural flair to work with my hands as well. Yeah, so that's when I decided, yeah, mid-2021.
Mm. So tell me more about the products and clothes that you guys sell, because you know you mentioned, right, you started with fabric masks but then you've sort of expanded that as well.
So our initial focus was on making clothes that are timeless, because like you mentioned earlier, making slow fashion back in style. Yeah, that's what she said. So we started to make clothes that were timeless, like simple cami tops, wrap skirts, because apart from making them durable in terms of like how physically durable they are, we also want them to be able to withstand style and trend changes. So that's what we did. But we also accept a lot of orders for all kinds of things. My mom said over the years, she simply, people just come and ask for all kinds of things. So we do just accept whatever orders come our way. But yeah, definitely there's a focus on women's clothing. Particularly more modern style of clothes, and we also find ways to infuse our Peranakan style and heritage into everything that we design.
Tell me more about that. You know, are there any examples of how you infuse that part of your heritage into your clothes?
The way we infuse, I would say we definitely appreciate each batik print as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're familiar with the batik sarung, it mm-hmm. comes with a kepala, a badan and a kaki. So each batik designer creates it with the idea that you're going to use the fabric as a whole, right? So whenever we chop it up, sorry, I have no softer way to say that, but whenever we chop it up into a smaller garment, we always find a way to infuse those kepala, badan and kaki into the piece instead of just randomly cutting everywhere, right? Because it's just, to some people, they might just see it as a cloth with flowers on it. Yeah, so we always try to respect and honour how the original batik designer intended the design to be worn and displayed.
It's not just one print, right? It's several different prints and you want to appreciate all the different parts of it.
Yeah, so there are many different types of batik prints. Like there's a batik sarung, which is like I mentioned with the kepala, badan, kaki. Then there is a batik lepas, which is usually the ones with the print that is uniform throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So we do use the mixture of both. But ultimately, my mom still prefers using batik sarung because she likes the challenge of having to arrange each motif so carefully, you know. So we always say when people order clothes from us, it's not just clothing, it's a piece of art, because you know we are able to express ourselves creatively whenever we are making each garment. Yeah,
that's a really interesting way to look at it, right? Like it's an art form because I imagine it's not easy to, when you cut it up as well, that you want to, when someone wears the whole piece together, you want it to still look like one set of clothes. I guess like for you as well, you know, I understand that the patterns that you stock often do change over time. That must keep things quite interesting, both for your customers and for you and your mum.
Yeah, so the thing about batik prints is that they are usually made in very limited quantities. So sometimes people ask, will you please restock this? And I say, no, I'm sorry, I really can't. Like, I would really love to, but I can't. So it's definitely a challenge for us business-wise because it's always changing. And then sometimes customers, I admit, they sound a bit frustrated. They say, why is there no catalogue for me to browse all of your prints? And I say, it's because I would like to, but it just changes too fast. So, but I feel it adds to the appeal of custom making stuff where you know, everything is always so different all the time. You always get the fun experience of picking and choosing, you know, taking taking your own initiative, taking part in the creative process of making your garments. Yeah. And my mom and I always have this joke. So sometimes there's a piece of fabric that for some reason no customer will choose.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of say, oh, it's like the ugly duckling. Nobody wants it. So what we'll do is we'll make clothes for me and launch a new design on our page. And then people will ask, oh, do you have this piece? And I'll say, no, it's not available anymore. That was the last piece. So sometimes we definitely credit our customers for trusting us whenever they say, I don't know how the outcome is going to be because it's just a fabric and the outcome can be totally different, but we trust you to do it. Some customers say they have no imagination, so they really can't picture what the end result is going to be. So we definitely appreciate the trust that they place in us.
That's really great because sometimes, you know, you're right, it can be very hard to picture a piece of cloth and how that will turn out when it becomes a piece of clothing, right? And then suddenly you realise that, oh, actually this print looks really cool, but you can't. I mean, for someone like me, for example, I wouldn't be able to know if it would turn out nice or not, but you guys would know how to place it in the right position. And would that really depend on, I guess, the type of kain that you have?
It depends on, the type of kain. Also depends on, let's say, the customer size and what they're ordering. So, for example, if they are ordering like a crop top and they are like an extra small person and they choose a fabric with like really big flowers, it's a bit difficult to work around. So we'll find ways to make it look less crowded so it looks more balanced. Yeah, so it's definitely a challenge. This is why making clothes out of batik is very time consuming because let's say compared to making normal clothes where you can just, let's say a plain fabric, you can just cut it and you can cut multiple pieces at once and not even think about where the outcome is going to be. But when it comes to batik, yeah, you really have to consider. We have to cut each piece one by one instead of being able to cut two at a time. So, yeah, it's definitely very time-consuming. But like I said, we enjoy the challenge.
All right, we'll go for a quick break and continue this discussion when we're back. On the show with me today is Wong and G, half of the duo behind Batik by Nelly Pok and G, on putting their spin on Batik Wear. We'll be right back on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Open for Business with me, Lim Soo Ann. On the show with me today is Wong NG from Batik by Nelly Pop NG, talking to us about their business of making custom batik wear for all occasions, be it everyday wear or special occasions. Now, G, we've been talking about sort of how you got into the business, right? Following your mother's footsteps and setting up this business, focusing on custom batik wear. So, you know, why that decision to focus on custom pieces rather than ready-made clothes?
So we definitely tried to make ready-made because obviously it's a lot more feasible for us. It's a lot easier. Mm. But we found that even when customers ordered pieces, ready-made pieces, I would still ask for their measurements to see if we have to alter anything. And in most cases, we did. So then we said, oh, it's a bit troublesome, isn't it, for every single piece to be altered. So why not we just focus on custom-made? So we started doing that. And obviously, everybody's body is really different. You know, fast fashion is usually catered to a very specific body type, which I'm not sure who it's for, but definitely not me. So I do struggle personally with finding clothes that fit as well. So we said, yeah, let's just make it all custom made. The downside is definitely people have to wait. But, well, the perks is they get a piece that fits really well. You know, they get a piece that they know is made specially for them. And they can customize it in any way, not just the size, but let's say they wish to add sleeves, pockets, a higher neckline, a lower neckline. Yeah, we can really do anything. And since our focus is on making pieces that really last, we would want to make pieces that people will wear for a really long time. Because I do believe in the concept of valuing your clothes based on cost per wear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about the upfront cost, but it's about how much wear you'll get out of it that makes it worth it in the long run. Yeah, so that's why we really emphasize on custom-made pieces.
Mm. So I'm just thinking from a business perspective, right? If you allow customers to sort of customize all these different things, you know, pockets, length, or your collar, or anything like that, it must take a lot of back and forth between you and the customer to get to that point where, okay, this is what I want.
Yeah, it's a lot of discussion. So I have to juggle my time between being my mom's apprentice, learning how to sew, and having to reply customers. But honestly, I do enjoy it. I think it's very nice to have this relationship between our customers where we know who we're making it for and they know who is making it for them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we do really enjoy that aspect of it. Yeah, I just find this whole customer-tailor relationship really wholesome. Like I was just telling my mom the other day, we have customers who come to us, the same customers, who come to us for engagement or wedding clothes.
Mm.
And then a few months later, they'll come back for maternity clothes. And then many months later, they'll come back for baby dresses. So yeah, I really enjoy having this relationship with our customers. So I don't mind the tediousness of the ordering process.
Mm. So are you seeing more people interested in these kinds of slow fashion as well? Because, you know, we live in a world that's very much dominated by fast fashion, right? Go to any mall and you'll see like a whole range of fast fashion brands. But do you see more people interested in, I guess, slow fashion and also batik more specifically? Because we always tend to see batik as a very traditional wear, as formal wear, right? So do you see that rising interest?
Yeah, we definitely see that rising interest. I think people are getting more aware on the negative impacts of fast fashion on our environment. So it's really nice when people are doing that. And what you mentioned about younger people especially being interested in what was previously thought as traditional or like more mature wear, yeah, it's definitely been very wonderful, especially for customers who are travelling or working abroad. Whenever they come back to Malaysia, they say, can I please make some clothes to bring back with me to remind me of home, you know, some souvenirs for my friends, things like that. And the funny thing is, my mom has her own pool of loyal customers from back in her day. And even when they are choosing batik prints,
mm-hmm.
they'll say, I don't want the one that makes me look old. So whenever they say that, I'm wondering, does that mean there is a young-looking batik? Because to us, you know, batik is just a print, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we never really thought to label them as young or old, but yeah, that's just our experience.
Hmm. So then in terms of your design, because a lot of it can be custom, right? Do people tend to request, I guess, more modern designs, timeless one, or perhaps more traditional ones?
Oh, they actually order a mix, I would say. One of our best-selling items is our pareo, which is just a self-tied skirt with a buckle, which we've modified from the original silhouette to be a bit more snatched. Yeah, so that is one of our best sellers. And also, we have been getting an increasing amount of requests for more retro clothes. Mm-hmm. I think now, because retro clothes, like from the 1940s, 1960s, are coming back in trend. So even my mom has been saying, oh, we should make more clothes that look more retro, back from what she used to wear in her own days. And combining it with batik would be quite special, I think.
Because then I think a lot of people are searching for that uniqueness as well, right? And I think with batik, that I guess you said that your prints change over time, you know, you can't get this, you can't always restock the same one, then people would get unique pieces from you as well, right?
Yes, yeah, very unique pieces, truly one of a kind, made in their size, yeah.
You know, you mentioned that you have your mom has some returning clients, right? But slow fashion, usually people think that, you know, it means that you don't buy clothes as much or you don't buy clothes as often. So in terms of your clients, do you usually get returning clients or, you know, new ones? What, tell me more about that.
Oh, we definitely have a lot of returning clients, which to us is such an honour to have people come back again and again. But yeah, we do have new clients as well. So for the returning clients, they will usually, since they've, let's say, they've already ordered like everything available on our rather limited catalogue, so they'll start to submit their own design, stuff like that. Yeah, but for new clients, usually we can tell like they are kind of just dipping their toes into getting custom-made batik wear. So they usually order things, simple things like cami tops or a pareo, or just a simple wrap skirt.
Yeah. Mm. So just to talk a bit about that, you guys have a set of, I guess, designs that people can refer from, and people can also add or suggest their own designs to you as well, right?
Yeah, so it works both ways, but some people just, they can't be bothered to go and look for their own design. So that's why we do try to offer, just to give them some sort of inspiration, like this is what you can order, this is potentially what it will look like, you know, this is how more or less the placement would be. The print placement, yeah. But ultimately, being a tailoring business, we can really just make anything. So it's not really limited to what we offer. Because, for example, people always ask, your designs look a little bit young, but I need something because I'm a bit old, I'm shy about my arms, you know. So we always tell them, of course, you can customize it in any way. So if, let's say, they already have an existing garment they really like and they are comfortable with, we say, sure, we can recreate something similar, because ultimately, we just want our customers to have clothes that they are really going to enjoy and they're really going to wear often.
Mm. You know, it's just you and your mom running the show. There must be some, I guess, benefits to just having the two of you doing it, but also some challenges as well, right? Especially when, I guess, orders become quite high.
Yeah, so the challenges would definitely be battling with the expectations brought about by fast fashion. You know, not everybody is willing to wait for clothes, unfortunately. But yeah, whenever I tell customers, thank you for your patience, thank you for your understanding, it sounds like a very template, default business reply. But I do really mean that with all of my heart, because if people were not willing to wait for our pieces, we really wouldn't have gotten anywhere. So yeah, dealing with people's expectations for speed is one of our biggest challenges. The pros, I would say, is I really enjoy working with my mom, despite how people said, you sure or not can do business with family? Thankfully, we get along really well. Yeah, because I think we are both quite similar, especially my mom being a nyonya and me growing up under her. I'm kind of used to her kind of standards, so I can meet them rather well, especially for tailoring, where it's a very detailed work. Mm. This is something we definitely, something from our Peranakan heritage that we definitely bring into our work, is how fine we can make each piece. It's good training, so I do enjoy it.
Hmm. How long on average do people wait for a piece?
Oh, it really depends on the queue at the time, how intricate the design is, and sometimes, let's say, they want to add other stuff on that we have to go out and buy a separate fabric for. Yeah, it really depends. So usually we always encourage customers to ask when they can get it first, or let us know when they need a piece of clothing for, so that we can prepare everything. If not, it'll be a bit unfair, I think, for both ends if, you know, the garment doesn't arrive on time. So yeah, we do appreciate it when people tell us their due date beforehand.
Now, you guys run your business on Instagram and through WhatsApp, right? And in that case, you know, you would rely on customers' measurements as well being sent to you. Is that a challenge? Because I imagine there must be people who are worried that, hey, will this fit me when I'm the one measuring it?
Yeah, going online, that was definitely one of my mom's biggest concerns. So far, we are usually able to catch if a customer sends measurements and, let's say, something is a little bit out of proportion, we'll ask very tactfully, would you mind remeasuring this for us? And in most cases, we also ask them to send full body pictures if they're comfortable. Because whenever my mom was able to have customers over physically last time, she was able to see their proportions, you know, because measurements are, of course, not straightforward. Everybody's bodies are different. So even though numerically measurements may be the same, some people, maybe their hips might come out from the side, some might come out from the back. Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, especially for fitted clothes. So that's why initially our original designs were either meant to be adjustable, because not only is it relatively low risk in terms of measuring errors, but also because they'll be able to adjust it if they lose or gain weight. Yeah, so measurements are definitely, I can tell some customers are quite anxious about having to send over their measurements. But I do usually try to help them as much as I can. I tell them, if you have any questions, please ask, you know. And they always say, sorry if this is a stupid question. And I will say, no, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Your questions are all very valid, you know. But ultimately, I do think knowing how to measure yourself is a good skill to have, because now with the rise of online shopping, ultimately, you will have to measure yourself to buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a good way to force them to learn how to measure.
And you ultimately want, the whole point of this is to get clothes that fit you, right? So you want to make sure that you get your measurements right as well, so that your clothes will fit you as best as you can. It will be timeless. You can rewear them, you know, as many times as you want. You know, for now, I guess, any plans on expanding so far, or how is the business going?
Oh, the business is going really wonderfully. Thank you for asking. In terms of expanding, I would say we don't have like plans to open a factory or engage any external tailors or get any help, because I am still my mom's apprentice, so I am trying to learn as much as I can in order to take over from her and in order to maintain a certain level of standard, which, like I mentioned earlier, my mom is very, very strict on. Admittedly, it's a bit difficult to expand in terms of finding outside help. Yeah, so for now, we're just focusing on seeing how much I can learn and take over from her. And yeah, I guess that's about it. We do like the aspect of it being very personalised, very custom-made. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's something that we wish to maintain, perhaps for as long as we can.
All right, thank you so much for joining me on the show today, G.
All right, thank you, Sue Ann. Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking to Wong and G, the daughter half of the brother-daughter duo behind Batik by Nelly Pop and G, about their business of making custom batik wear for all occasions. If you're interested in what they do, you can find them on Instagram at the handle Batik by Nell. That's BatikByNell. I'm Lim Suan, and this has been Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.